Well, it's so amazing to be with you, 9 a.m. South. My name's Jake, and I have the honor and the privilege of being the lead pastor of CA Students in 678, and I'm just thankful to be with you today. And I want to start by just saying thank you, Mark, and to Tom and Albert and Cheryl and the leadership. I'm just honored that you would allow me to share today, and I just love you and respect you so much and so thankful for you, so thank you. I also wanted to acknowledge that this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and so I just wanted to give honor where honor's due and just say thank you to those and honor those who've laid down their lives for our country, as well as anybody here who has served in our armed forces. I just would love to honor you. So if you're willing and able, would you stand so that we can honor you? If you've served in our armed forces in any way, would you stand? Got some back here. Got some right here. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Another quick announcement before we move on. I want to update you on our plan for our prayer ministry and worship night that we have been announcing, and we took RSVPs last week, and church, your response was simply overwhelming. It's amazing. We thought maybe about 200 people would RSVP. We had over 750 of you RSVP. That's amazing. We're hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. That's so exciting. Problem is, it's a good problem, but we can't quite facilitate that many people on one night in one place, and so we need to come up with a new plan, and here's the new plan. We will now have two consecutive prayer, ministry, and worship nights. One will be on Wednesday, June 5th. The other will be the next night, June 6th. Both will be happening on the south side right here, starting at 7 p.m. and ending no later than 8:30 p.m., Now, we need half of you who RSVP'd to come to one of the nights and the other half to come to the other night. So to try to facilitate that, here is what we're asking. We are asking, if you RSVP'd and normally attend the 9 a.m. South, the 11:15 South, or the 9 a.m. North, we're asking you to come to the first night, Wednesday, June 5th. If you typically go to, and you RSVP'd, and you typically go to the 11:15 North, the Fusion, or Saturday night, then we're asking you to go to the second night, June 6th, that Thursday. Those service groupings represent roughly equal numbers from our weekend attendance, and so we're hoping, we're asking that half of you will go to one night, and then the other half the other night. We know that it's going to be so amazing, but we are asking those of you who RSVP'd to just come to one of the nights and not to both of the nights so that everybody can have a chance to come who RSVP'd. So if you have any questions on that, feel free to come to a pastor. We'll do our best to answer any questions that you have. Well, wow, I'm so excited. This series has been so amazing, and we're jumping into week 5 of this series, the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and why it matters for your life. If you've got a bulletin, you can follow along and take notes as we jump in. I've been given the assignment to talk about the Holy Spirit as our comforter. As our comforter. How amazing is it that God is our comforter? What a gift. And to start, I want to take us to John chapter 16. And here, Jesus is bringing to a close this long, drawn-out, really emotional moment where Jesus is preparing His disciples, His followers, His best friends for His imminent departure. He's about to face the cross, and He knows it. They don't quite understand it yet, but He's going to rise from the dead, and then He's going to ascend and be back with the Father. So He's preparing them for His physical absence. And these guys, these ladies, they are devastated that Jesus is making this announcement, that He's going to be leaving. What hope does Jesus offer? Jesus says in John 16, "But in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send Him to you." That word advocate right there is what we're going to be focusing on. In the Greek, it's parakletos. Go ahead and say parakletos with me. Parakletos. Nice work. Paraclete, when transliterated into English, that's the word we're going to be focusing on and what it means. It's a title for the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives. And Jesus says that it's better that he leaves so that he can send this paraclete. And honestly, when I read that, and as I've read that growing up, I've been like, really, Jesus? It's you in the flesh, in person. How could it be better if you were gone? But as I've been learning about this, about the Holy Spirit in this series, I'm learning maybe that has more to do with my lack of understanding and my ignorance of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit than on any ignorance on Jesus' part. Because it's so amazing what Jesus promises in the Holy Spirit. That's one question I'm asking. Really, Jesus? The other question I'm thinking about is that those of us who are Christians, we're basing our whole lives, we're staking our whole lives on this man who hasn't been physically seen for 2,000 years. What's with that? Like, how is that, you know, a sensical thing to do? Is it possible that he is substantively still with us in a way that Jesus would say, yeah, it's better that I leave so that I can send the paraclete? Is that possible? It kind of makes me think of this thing called Woodstock. I wasn't there, but apparently Woodstock was this really big deal music festival in 1969, and apparently it was really awesome because from what I hear is that everybody in the music festival scene is trying to get back to Woodstock. The problem is that no music festival or experience quite lives up to this golden standard of Woodstock. Some people are building a life pursuit around this event that's limited to a past moment in history. Some people are chasing after getting back to Woodstock, but they're chasing after a non-reality because Woodstock happened and ended. And really, church, what I came here to tell you today is that there's a fundamental difference between Jesus and Woodstock. All right, maybe there's many differences between Jesus and Woodstock. Here's the thing. The only way that Woodstock continues and continued throughout history is its memory. Is that the case with Jesus? Is his memory the only way that Jesus continues through history, or is there something more? Jesus said there's not just something more. He said there's someone more. In the paraclete, in the Holy Spirit. He comforted his disciples with the promise of the Comforter. And I don't know about you, church, but in the times in my life when I have been at my lowest lows, in the deepest darkness, in the hardest pain, I didn't just need some fancy, like, platitudes that would make me feel better. You know what I needed? And you know how God rescued me? He rescued me through someone. He rescued me through people, through a person. He rescued me through comforters. And that's exactly what Jesus promises us as his followers, that I will send you the comforter. I'll send you a person. And I'm so thankful for that. Go with me to that moment. The disciples, they had left everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus was not just their hope and their dream, but the Jewish people's hope and dream for the whole world. They had been hoping and waiting for the Messiah for millennia. And then Jesus says, I'm going to go die. And his disciples are like, what? And his disciples in this moment, they're feeling this utter loss. That, how many know, in this human life that's still marred by sin, we feel lost. And I know some of you here today and are experiencing, even at this time, deep, deep loss. And Jesus has something to say to his disciples then and now. He says, I'm going to send someone, the paraclete, the comforter. And we're going to be talking about how, that's good news, how the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, comforts us. Before we do, will you pray with me and ask him to come? Oh God, I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come, because I don't want to just talk about you right now. I want to talk to you. I don't want your people to just hear about you. I want them to encounter you. Holy Spirit, would you fall down in this place and bring your comfort and bring your love, bring your healing. Thank you for being our comforter, our strengthener, our advocate. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm really excited to tell you what I'm about to tell you. John 14:16 says, Jesus says that the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will guide his disciples, those then at that moment, but also us now, into all truth. It says that the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. And hey, I remember too that Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, the Spirit of Jesus. What Jesus is saying is that the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, will continually lead his followers in experiencing the with Jesus life, even when doing life with Jesus physically, you know, in the flesh is over. Wow. You know what that means? That means that for us as well, that the Jesus life, his voice, his presence, his power are not locked in a historical moment just when Jesus walked the earth, but it's available to us now through the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. It's not just when Jesus walked the earth that miracles happened and that the kingdom was coming in power, but that's for today now as well through the power of the paraclete, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was clear that life was going to be hard and that following Jesus was going to be hard. And so he promised the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Let's talk a little bit more about how the paraclete comforts us. And first, let's talk about that word paraclete for a moment. It comes again from that Greek word parakletos. Go ahead and say it with me again, parakletos. Nice. And try this one. It's related to the verb parakaleo. Parakaleo. Nice work, everybody. And most generally, this verb, parakaleo, it means to call to one side, to summon, especially for help. And the paraclete, parakletos, is the one who comes alongside, especially to help. Wow. Jesus is saying that that is the Holy Spirit. He's going to send the parakletos, the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside to help. You know what that means, church? That means that in the race of your life, God is not standing at the finish line saying, you better get here. Better do good and run faster and get here. Mm-mm. He's the one who comes alongside. It makes me think, have you seen some of those maybe a video of a marathon runner who gets dehydrated and can't finish the race? Or they get injured, and then maybe a competitor even will look back, and instead of winning, will go back and help that person finish the race, even push them forward past it. That's kind of what it's like. In fact, my bride, Noelle, will you come up here really quick, just so we can get a visual? Come right here. It's my wife, Noelle. And pretend I'm this marathon runner, and I just can't finish the race, and I'm hobbling, I can't do it. And then she comes along my side to help me finish the race. She is my helper. She's amazing. I love you, babe. That's what it's like, right? Someone who comes alongside to help us. Jesus says that that's who the Holy Spirit is. It's amazing. Because, hey, church, we don't just need help, right? We need a helper. That's who the Holy Spirit is. But what's so cool is parakletos, as the scholars would say, has a broad semantic range, right? So the original hearers wouldn't have just heard helper or one who helps, but there are all these other facets of that word that are just beautiful. And so we're going to be exploring those words like comforter, advocate, strengthener, intercessor, counselor. That's God. Oh my gosh, it's such good news. We don't want to lose all those facets of the paraclete, and so we're going to take a look at how the Holy Spirit embodies some of those meanings. So if you want to take notes, you can. The first one we're going to talk about is the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is our advocate. Woo! That is good news. By the way, at CA Students, we like to be an encouragement culture. We call it a talkback culture. So if there's anything that sounds, you know, encouraging to you, you can go ahead and say amen at any point if you want to. It is CA Students weekend, after all. It's amazing to me that one of the ways translators translate paraclete is advocate. Wow. What is an advocate? It's a person, come on, who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause, policy, or person. Some synonyms of advocate are champion, promoter, even protector. Wow. Could it really be that that is who God is? How is the Holy Spirit an advocate? I want to focus in on how he's the Spirit of truth, and he advocates for truth in our life, especially truth regarding who we are in God. John 15, 26 through 27 says, "But I will send you the advocate," or the paraclete, "the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you've been with me from the beginning of my ministry." It's good news to me that the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, is the Spirit of truth. Because I don't know about anybody else, but I can have a hard time believing truth sometimes. I can believe lies pretty easily. In fact, it started really on page 3 of the Bible. After God in his unbelievable generosity and love and joy created creation and human beings, right? And called it very good. So shortly after, human beings bought 2 lies. What were they? God's not that great and sin's not that bad. They bought those 2 lies. God's not that great. Sin's not that bad. And can I get a witness? Those are the lies that we just can continue to believe and just wreak havoc throughout the human story. We need a Spirit of truth to help us. We need a Spirit of truth. But the problem's not just with Adam and Eve out there, right? And it's not just with those people out there who have a hard time believing truth. I recognize in my heart, I have a hard time believing the truth. I have a hard time trusting what God says about what's right, what's wrong, about this life, its meaning, its afterlife, all these things. I can have a hard time. I need the Spirit of truth. I need the paraclete to come alongside me and to help me. And I want to focus in on lies about who we are and our worth and our identity. Church, maybe you have felt and heard some of these things in your heart and in your mind. Maybe you've heard, God doesn't love me. He couldn't. God could never forgive me. It's too late for me. I missed it. I should just give up. I'm worthless. Church, maybe you've even felt like some of those messages were coming from God. Maybe you felt like God was saying to you, you always fail. You're a failure. And you're such a disappointment. You and your sin, you disgust me. I've got some important news for you. My brothers, my sisters, my fathers, my mothers. That was not God's voice. That is not God's voice. That is not his voice. That was the voice of your enemy, who elsewhere in Scripture is called the accuser of God's people. And I want to juxtapose, what is that word? A juxtaposition of advocate and accuser, right? The advocate versus the accuser. Because the Bible says that my God is the advocate and that our enemy is the accuser. The word Satan, it's not a name, it's a title that means the accuser. And that's what the enemy does, is he accuses and he deceives. And he wants us to start believing lies about who God is and about who we are. As well as those statements were lies. Here are the things that the Holy Spirit will be saying, that God will be saying, oh, no, 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 church. Oh, no, no, it's not too late for you. I have a calling for you from this very moment, no matter how old you are, that you can fulfill this destiny on your life that would take your breath away if you could see it. I love you. Even in your darkest moment, for the joy set before me, I went to the cross because I love you and you are my treasure. Amen. That's what God is saying. The Holy Spirit is an advocate. Of course, that doesn't mean that he won't ever say something that hurts. He's the Spirit of truth, and the truth hurts sometimes, right? But you know why he'll say some things that hurt us a little bit sometimes? You know why? Because love will say some things that hurt us a little bit sometimes. If I love someone and I see them destroying their life with their choices, you know what I'll do? I'll humbly and gently confront them. And the Holy Spirit does that. Cheryl taught on that. He does. But church, listen, there's a huge difference between condemnation and conviction. The accuser specializes in condemnation, but my Bible says that there's no condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. Condemnation says you failed and you are a failure and there's no hope for you, whereas conviction says, yes, you failed, but there is hope for you. You are not your failure. You're a child of God. That's what conviction says, and we have to learn to know the difference. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. Oh, church, it's been so powerful to me, and I'm so thankful for the people in my life who have helped me start to learn and to distinguish when it's the voice of the accuser in my life versus the voice of the advocate. Growing up, it was so hard for me to know, was this, God, is that what you're saying? Are you being this intense, like, always do this thing? Sometimes I think of God as a father. He's like, God, are you always telling me go do the dishes, or are you just saying, hey, let's go on a drive together? Right? God is our advocate. He's not the accuser. It's been a comfort to me to learn that. And I really believe that God wants you to hear. He's the advocate. He's not the accuser. What voice are you listening to? The good shepherd or the stranger's voice? Let's listen to the voice of the advocate. Let's go on. The paraclete is our helper. The paraclete is our helper. Woo! We need some help. Thank you, Lord, that you are our helper. The way I want to focus on his help is that he's an exhorter or an encourager. One translation of paraclete says he's the divine encourager. Wow, praise God. I think of a marathon runner again. A marathon runner can run better, faster, and farther when they have an exhorter cheering them on, right? Imagine for a second having to run a marathon with no music, alone, with nobody cheering you on. How many of you would rather die than do that? I would rather die than do that. No, when people run a marathon, they invite people to come cheer them on. Because when they see their friend or their family member, look them in the eyes and say, you're crushing it. You're doing it. You're amazing. You can do it. What happens? They start to believe again. Life floods them again. And they say, I can do it. Right? I think of it with spiritual mentors and disciples in my life, Mark and Tom and Cheryl and some of these people, and they say, Jake, you can do it. And see that thing that you don't think you can do? You can do that. And guess what that helps me do? It makes me believe differently and therefore act differently, because true belief always leads to action, right? And that's why, church, no matter how old you are, I would submit to you humbly, you got to have someone who is a spiritual authority in your life who can say, hey, I love you. Knock it off. And that you actually listen to that. It's important to be coming to church and to hear the voice of God so that you can be encouraged and the boundaries can be expanded of what you can do in the Lord, right? What is the Holy Spirit exhorting us and encouraging us to do? Remember, the Holy Spirit continues the work of Jesus. What was Jesus up to? Well, that could be a long sermon, but he was up to bringing the kingdom of God, kicking out hell on earth and bringing the kingdom. And he wants every single one of you to be on that team, by the way. And he's got a plan for you to be on that team, to kick out hell and bring the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? That's what the Holy Spirit is helping us do. He's saying, you can do it. You can forgive that person you never thought you could forgive. You can refuse to gossip. You can do it. Hey, see that destiny that God's calling you to that you think, no way, I can't do that? He's like, you're right, you can't do it on your own, but I can come alongside you and I can help you and you can do it. You can bring the kingdom with your life. No matter what you've done in your past, Jesus died on the cross for you. His blood covers your life and he's ready to take you on this journey. Repentance is joyful, right? It's turning away from this craziness, this insanity that is sin, and following Jesus. He's going somewhere fun. I'm going to follow him, right? That's repentance, turning around and going towards him. The Holy Spirit is our exhorter, our encourager. He helps us do things that we couldn't do before because he comes alongside us and helps us. The next one is the paraclete is our intercessor. It just gets better and better. It really does. The intercessor. Wait, first of all, intercessor, what is that? It's someone who stands in the gap, who intervenes on one behalf, in particular, one who prays for. And maybe you're like me, and I'm like, wait, is that fair? Like, is that real? Like, can God pray for you? Apparently, you can. Romans 8, 26 through 27 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but listen to this, church. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." That's some intense prayer. Mm-hmm. "And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." Wow. Wow, God's praying for us. What does it mean in this passage? The Apostle Paul says that he helps us in our weakness. Well, I think we all know what it means to be weak. And in this case, I think he's talking about we're not yet fully redeemed. We're not yet fully there. You know, Jesus came and he inaugurated the kingdom of God. And it's truly here in our midst. It's just not yet fully here in our midst. Those of us who have given our lives to Christ, we have been redeemed. We're just not yet fully redeemed. And so in this in-between time, we need help. We need help to bring the kingdom. We need help to love. We need help to know what we need help for. And that's what the Holy Spirit says he'll come and do. He'll pray for you in ways that you don't even know you need help for. And then you can ask him, "Holy Spirit, how are you praying for me?" And help me get in touch with that and start praying that as well. Church, maybe somewhere you feel so stuck and you just don't even know what to pray anymore. Maybe it's just a diagnosis came in or a loved one is lost or a betrayal or something. And you just feel so hurt and you just want to give up. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, "Don't give up. I'm praying for you. And there's hope." We people who are not yet fully redeemed, we need help to see the hope that God's creating. And the Holy Spirit can help us and pray that into our present. Finally, the paraclete is our comforter. The paraclete is our comforter. I love this one so much. I love the definition of to comfort. It's to ease the grief or distress of. To ease the grief or distress of, to console. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete, but comforter, that he may be with you always." One of the fundamental things the Holy Spirit does is he abides in his people. He's with us. And how many of you know when you're going through something painful and hard and suffering, one of the greatest gifts somebody can give you is their presence, right? I remember this is such minor suffering compared to some of the things that you guys are going through or have gone through, but one time I just remember it regarding this, that I was so sick and I was away from home and I was super nauseous and I couldn't fall asleep. I just felt super miserable. And I was trying to comfort myself with, you know, great truth and even Bible verses, and those were a little helpful, but I was still feeling like just in pain. And then I got on the phone with my friend, even on the phone, and my friend just sat with me and just was there. They weren't like saying all these words, but they were just there, and something shifted, and my suffering was less. They eased my distress. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our suffering, church. He comes to be with us, and not just be with us in some like ethereal way, but he comes to speak to you comfort and words of truth and words of hope and to be present with you. The Holy Spirit helps us in our grieving. In this broken world, grieving is going to be a part of this life, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our grieving. I think about when someone loses someone that they love. What do people do? How do people respond? They do what the Holy Spirit does, and they come alongside to help, right? But the difference with the Holy Spirit and with us in general is that the Holy Spirit's not just there for that day or for that funeral, but the Holy Spirit stays right alongside us for the long haul to comfort us and to help us to grieve. And one of the final ways I love how the Holy Spirit is our comforter is that one of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit is he reminds us who we are as God's children. He reminds us that we're loved by a father. I love this. In Matthew 3, 16 through 17, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And you can see it on the screens. I'm just going to describe it because we're almost out of time. I love the story of the baptism because it's this amazing scene where before Jesus had conquered death, before he had done any miracles, before any of these ways that, you know, his father could look down and say, good job, you know, you performed very well. Before all of that, the father says, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. And church, I got some good news for you. Jesus invites his followers. He invites his disciples into his relationship with the Father. He wants us to experience the Father like he experienced the Father. That before our performance, before all our doing, the Father would say to us, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. And you bring me great joy. And nothing's going to change that. That's one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Jesus used this word, Abba, Father, right? It's this intimate word. And the Holy Spirit teaches us to use the same word. Check this out. In Romans 8, 15 through 16, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, church. You have not. But you've received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. How many of you need to hear, you're my son, you're my daughter, I'm well pleased with you, and I love you. Before your performance, I love you because you exist. Thank you, Lord. Aiden, you can come up and join me. Church, in a world that so often opposes the kingdom of God and opposes Jesus and is offended by him, when we choose to follow him, to trust him and trust his definitions of what is good and what is evil, and follow in his way. You know what that means? There's going to be suffering and there's going to be awkward conversations. There's going to be hard times. And that's why he promised the Holy Spirit, the comforter who is more than able to comfort us, more than able, even in the moment of those hard suffering times. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to propose this simple idea that being the comforter, being the advocate, being the helper, the exhorter, those aren't just things that the Holy Spirit does, but because as followers of Christ, we always know who we are in light of who God is, I would like to propose to you that it's also something about who we are. So if the Holy Spirit is the comforted church, I believe that we are the comforted. If the Holy Spirit is the advocate, then church, we are the advocated for. The Bible says, whom then shall form an accusation against those God has called? We are the advocated for. If the Holy Spirit is the strengthener, then we are the made strong. If the Holy Spirit is the helper, and not just the all right kind of helpful person, but the all sufficient helper, then we are the sufficiently helped. 2 Peter says that he has given us all we need for a life of godliness. All spiritual blessings in Christ are ours, says Ephesians. Life in God, church, how about this? That you are more defined by God's sufficiency than by your lack because of who the Holy Spirit is, how he comes alongside. Let's pray together as we close. Probably a lot of different people in this room. Maybe there are some people who've never yet received this comforter because you've never yet received the Savior. And I don't know about you, but I came to a point in my life where I recognized I don't just need a helper. I don't just need a life renovation philosophy. I need a new life. Like, I'm too far gone. I need a new life. And that's what Jesus comes to offer through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you can do that right now by just putting your faith in him, by saying, forgive me of my sins. I trust in you to be my Savior and my Lord. And he'll come right now, and the Holy Spirit will come right then as well and seal and speak those words to you. Maybe you need an advocate. You've been believing lies about, you've been listening to the accuser. You've been listening to the stranger, not the shepherd, not the advocate. And you need him to advocate on your behalf. Then just let him speak those words of truth to you in this moment. Maybe you need a helper. You need an encourager. You need the Holy Spirit to say, hey, you can do it. Not just you can do it, we can do it. I will help you. I will come alongside you. I'll expand the boundaries of your vision for what I have for your life. Maybe you need an intercessor. You don't even know what to pray at this point. The Holy Spirit does, and he's praying for you with groanings that words can't express. Ask him to pray for you in this moment. Maybe you need a comforter like never before. Church, I really believe that he wants to speak to your heart even in this moment. Words of love, words of hope, words of, I'm here. The Bible says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let the Comforter come and fill in all the cracks and just fill you with his love right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that we as a church, when we read that verse where you say, Jesus, that it's better that I go so that I could send the Holy Spirit, I pray that we would be a church that wouldn't say, how could that be? But we would be a church that says, oh yeah, that makes sense because I know the Holy Spirit and I know his power and I know his presence and I know his love and I know his being with us. Holy Spirit, would you fall in this place? Would you help us believe that the life with Jesus and the kingdom manifesting, Lord, in word, deed, and power is not locked up to that moment when you walked the earth, but it's here and it's present and it's available through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. Come alongside us. We need you today. We love you. Bless your people, God. Bless your bride. Bless your church, God. Come alongside them. Encourage them and comfort them as we go today. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Let's worship. Amen.